Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Cremil Bogafishin, Anil, retention within the Defence Forces has been a significant issue in recent years, with pay and conditions being frequently cited for poor recruitment. But new figures today show that Army numbers have dropped below 6,000 for the first time and now stands 1,500 fewer than the absolute minimum the force should have. It's all laid on the Irish Examiner. So what has to change? To discuss this is Fianna Fáil Senator Lisa Chambers and Sinn Féin TD and spokesperson on Foreign Affairs and Defence, Matt Carthy. You're both very welcome to the programme. Lisa Chambers, below 6,000 for the first time. Is that a concern?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to get the numbers up, and that's been acknowledged by government. It's been an ongoing challenge in terms of recruitment and retention for probably the best part of a decade now. And we have been competing with the private sector, and the Defence Forces, as is well documented, has had its challenges. But there has been significant investment and improvements. We saw the defence budget for this year in 2024 increase by 21 million euros, and there is more to come in subsequent budgets as well. There is a commitment by the government to, following the Commission on the Defence Forces, which was published in February 22, to move the country to a higher level of defence. And that will involve investment, not just in personnel, but
doesn't
in capacity as well.
Doesn't seem to be working. Over 750 left the Defence Forces last year.
Yeah, no, look, there has been challenges. I think some of the controversies that have been, levelled at the Defence Forces, which we've seen, played out in the media over the last year or two, has had an impact. But also we're at full employment. There are lots of opportunities for young people. So you're competing in that space as well.
Okay.
We have seen...
Do you think the government is doing as much as it can to increase the numbers?
Well, I can tell you what the government is doing. As I said, the budget was increased this year. We have seen some of the recommendations relating to pay in the Commission on the Future of the Defence Forces implemented. So pay has gone up this year. There's a specific Naval Service Recruitment Ad that was launched in the first part of this year. There's also been a contract awarded to a Marine Specialist Recruitment Body to try and target specific skills and individuals for the Navy service. So there has been very specific initiatives taken. Mm-hmm. And I think the Taoiseach has taken a very hands-on approach. And there was a briefing with Defence Force.
You're laying out the amount of work that has gone in and all the initiatives. Let me bring in Matt Carthy. Stay with me, Lisa Chambers of Fianna Fáil. Matt Carthy of Sinn Féin, is there anything else that you think should be done to increased numbers?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is get realistic, Cormac. When this government came to office, there were about 8,700 members of the Defence Forces. By the time Micheál Martin became Minister for Defence, that number had fallen below 8,000, and the latest figures show that the number has actually dropped to less than 7,400. That's a monumental failure by any standard, and the truth is that the failure is getting worse each year under the current government.
Why?
It's actually... Well, primarily because the government and the minister in particular are refusing to listen to those people who actually know best. And those people who know best are the members of the Defence Forces and their representative organisations. And we've held quite a number of engagements in the Oireachtas Foreign Affairs and Defence Committee. And every single expert has told us that the single most important retention initiative that government can take to address the crisis within the Defence Forces is through the implementation of the Working Time Directive to the Defence Forces. Government have continuously dragged their heels on that. There is no sense of urgency. It's July 2022 since the high-level action plan that was put in place called for the heads of bill to be published at that stage within 6 months. That hasn't even yet occurred. So unless we get to the starting point of actually listening to those people who are in the coal faces, our men and women of the Defence Forces who are telling us where the issues are, and start addressing them as opposed to start talking about what's happening in the private sector. There are men and
Lisa
women
Chambers,
in the Defence Forces
specifically,
today who want to continue to remain in the Defence Forces but who are forced to leave because of the conditions that they're
Lisa working Chambers,
on.
Specifically, why hasn't the Working Time Directive been implemented?
Yeah, well, just to respond to what Matt has said there, I spent 13 years myself in the Defence Forces as a reservist. I understand the organisation. I meet regularly with RACO, PD Fora and RD Fra, and we do listen. Of course we listen to members of our Defence Forces. So to suggest otherwise is completely untrue. And the Working Time Directive, I know that's a big issue, but that's not going to solve all of the challenges that our defence forces have faced over the last number of years. And it's dishonest to say so. There's been, I suppose, there's been cultural issues that have been addressed head on by the defence forces themselves that have been well documented. That's had an impact. I do think, you know, the recruitment issues that the Irish Defence Forces are facing, it's not uncommon. It's happening in other armies across the world as well. So that's a challenge that's not just unique to Ireland. What we have done to try and address that, we have increased the retirement age to 60 for the PDF, the Permanent Forces. We've increased the recruitment age up to 39. We now have direct entry specialist roles in the officer ranks up to the age of 50 as well. And as I said, we've increased pay this year. We've increased the budget this year. And, we have specialist recruitment drives happening this year.
The working time directive needs to be implemented. And I don't know about listening to soldiers, but the Thánaigh and the department seem to be listening to this programme, because we've just received a statement and they say the Thánaigh is committed to the removal of the blanket exemption which currently applies to the Defence Forces in the Organisation of Working Time Act. Significant progress has been made recently in this body of work, they say, and the Thánaigh approved earlier this year the final management position following extensive consultations involving the PDF, representative associations and civilian military management. They say while the military authorities have advised that a high percentage of the normal everyday work of the Defence Forces is already in compliance with the Working Time Directive, the final approved management positions provide for the exemption of certain military activities due to their specific nature, as well as a number of agreed protections for those exempted activities. And they say, Matt Carthy, before I come to you, the final line is that the next step is the development of the appropriate legislative mechanism. Engagement is taking place with the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, who have responsibility for this piece of legislation. They're promising a move on this.
Oh, I could have given you that answer, because I've received this on multiple occasions from the Department of Defence through parliamentary question and direct challenges to the minister. The truth is that the time frame that the department themselves set out in terms of the implementation of the Working Time Directive hasn't been met. But look at the reality. I'm not disputing Lisa's record within the Reserve Defence Forces, but currently the Reserve Defence Forces, which should be the greatest pool for recruitment within the Defence Forces, is essentially non-existent. There are 1,400 members in total within the Reserve Defence Forces. Absolutely pathetic. On average, every single year, about 290 serving members of the Defence Forces are paying to be discharged. That's on top of the extraordinary levels of people who are retiring and discharging each year, well above what should be.
So they're not being paid enough.
The truth is, they're not. Well, their overall conditions certainly aren't.
So if you were in power, what would you pay them?
Well, what I would do in the first instance is implement the Working Time Directive, as is the specific ask of the representative organisations. I also want to touch on the budget.
You know, but before you move on the rates of pay, you say they weren't paid enough. What should they be paid?
No, what I'm saying is that they should have the Working Time Directive implemented. That's what the representative organisations are asking for. They haven't made a pay claim in terms of requesting additional
You brought it up.
Pay other than the pay agreements that are in place.
But you brought levels of pay up.
Yes, and the Working Time Directive impacts on levels of pay, because it impacts on the level of pay per hour. That is what the representative organisations are seeking, and that is what Sinn Féin are committed to doing. But I do think we need to continue to ensure that our men and women of the Defence Forces are adequately paid. But we also need to ensure that they have the resources. Now, Lisa has mentioned what she called record levels of spending. The Commission on the Defence Forces set out very clearly what is required in terms of additional capital expenditure. They set it out that an additional $246 million would be needed each year over 10 years to meet level of ambition 2. In the past 2 years, government have underfunded that target by the tune of €70 million each year, meaning that under the current government trajectory, we probably wouldn't get to a point where we would meet the level of ambition 2
Lisa, to respond to that.
Members to come into the Defence Forces, we have to put in place the equipment and resources and infrastructure that they need in order to do their job.
Okay, I'll get you to respond to that, Lisa Chambers. But this text of 51551. The Defence Forces have been taken for granted for years, says this listener. When the troubles began, there was a major recruitment drive. Since the peace process, things have been allowed to slide, as if no other problem may happen in our country. I'm an ex-officer, says this listener, and I've seen the lack of support, insufficient pay and questionable conditions in places. A country without a well-trained, relatively small standing army is looking for trouble. Taken for granted, they feel.
Is that directed towards me, Cormac?
Yes.
Sorry, Well, I think there's a lot of honesty in that text message. I think as a country as a whole, we certainly take for granted that we have a very safe country and that, you know, defence isn't usually top of the agenda when it comes to political issues that we discuss. And I would certainly always support investment in our defence forces, respect for the work that they do, not just here domestically, but our peacekeeping work abroad with the UN. So I think the work that the men and women of Éireann Na HÉireann do is hugely valuable. And I do think we take for granted that we are relatively safe and we do need to invest more in our defence forces.
An ex-officer is saying, he's saying not that the work is taken for granted, not that the relative peace in this country is taken for granted, the defence forces are being taken for granted. That's what this person is saying.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to dispute how that person feels. I mean, I certainly don't take the Defence Forces for granted, nor does the government. And I think that's backed up by the work that's been done in this year in particular, when you see the increased funding. And, you know, Matt mentioned the progress that we need to make to get to the mission too. You know, that will be achieved, and it is over a longer period. It is a significant shift forward in terms of increased spending in defence, which, you know, we really haven't had those conversations heretofore, and it's become more of a topic, I think, for conversation in the country. And I think people want to see us invest more in defence, not just in terms of our barracks and our serving personnel, but in the space of cyber security as well and maritime security. So there is a lot to do. But, you know, you ask Matt a very simple question, what would they do differently? He's very quick to point out faults, and they're quite easy to find when you look at the challenges we've had over the last 10 years. But Sinn Féin, as usual, have very, very few answers, no okay. solutions, just standing on the sidelines and poking holes.
It's not constructive.
Let me get the question. We would listen to the members of the Defence Forces by implementing
the work. Of course we listen to the members, Matt. That's a ridiculous suggestion.
How we would match the level unto capital investment that is necessary.
And that's happening.
And crucially, how we would ensure that our Defence Forces can continue to play the important role within UN peacekeeping missions in order to be peacekeepers and continue the proud tradition that we have in peacekeeping.
And government are doing that and will always do that.
Without undermining Irish neutrality, as Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have been doing.
Is there anything you would do differently?
I'm after setting out three areas where we would be very.
Where the government are doing exactly that.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Lisa Chambers of Fianna Fáil, Matt Carthy of Sinn Féin, thank you.